Not only does this mass choir love singing, they love praising the name of Jesus. You know, you all know the sports analogy when they say that a player is in the zone. That means that they're playing above and beyond what is imaginable. They're doing things that you can't even, that's normal players cannot do. And that player who's doing it will probably not do the same thing again. This choir is in the zone. It's a spiritual zone. They're physically in our presence, but they are in the presence of the Lord singing the Lord's praise. You got to look at their faces. You can tell that they're in the zone. In the zone. They left us a long time ago. A long time ago. Welcome back. Can we reach out to our pew partners for worship today and join hands that we might be in agreement as we move into this next phase of worship? God, we give thanks for your holy presence being upon us, being in us, being in this place and space. We thank you for making Goshen Church this morning to be a house of worship and a house of prayer. We give thanks, God, that your spirit is here, moving on us. God, we pray that each and every head and heart is awakened this morning, made alive in a way like never before. And we ask right now that as your word is imparted, that your son who is serving right now will be moved out of the way. Hide me behind the cross, that your glory and honor shall come forth with boldness and power, that we might hear a word from on high, that those who have an ear might hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church, that we shall be transformed further into your likeness. This is your service prayer. In the name of Jesus and in the nature of Christ and the people of God, say together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give God the thank offering for your blessing even right now. Amen. Before we go any further, I'd like for Sister Denise and all others who are part of beautifying the church for the Christmas season to please stand. The dynamic duo. Amen. God bless you. Our narthex in the sanctuary are quite seasonably appropriate and beautiful. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. Amen. He, meaning Jesus, was praying in a certain place. And after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Somebody say with me, please, possibilities are fertile when you learn to pray like Jesus. Come on, let that sink in. Possibilities are fertile when you learn to pray like Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. I am not going to holler at you this morning. I'm going to talk to you and teach you. Who said that? But as we normally during the Advent season, quite often sermons are preached about Jesus being born in a barn on the backside of Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothing, and there's no room at the inn, and what the scene was like for Mary and Joseph for this God come in flesh being born in a community of people who were not expecting him. And that is still what we we not still, but we still understand. We understand that as this time of year. But we're also moving to the close of the year 2018. And I don't know about for you, but time seems to be moving on so quickly. And there's so many pressures that are placed upon us that there's some things that we get out of alignment of doing that are valuable and important to our spiritual process. And even not just spiritually, but how we live from day to day. So as we approach the last 31 days of 2018, I want to use at least four of them to encourage us to dedicate ourselves to a greater practice in our prayer lives. Is that all right? Is that all right? And not only in our prayer lives, but to grow closer in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Truth be told, some people don't understand the purpose or the need to develop and be dedicated in prayer. And many of us, that do pray, wonder why our prayers seem to hit the ceiling and bounce back down, why our prayers lack power. We wonder about that. And if you find that you are connected to any of these situations, you might want to say, Lord, teach me to pray. Luke's rendition of the gospel gives more emphasis on the importance of prayer for Jesus than do the other gospels. And you might see in Luke 3:21 and 22, we learn of Jesus. Y'all know Jesus, right? We learn of Jesus going to a deserted place, a place by himself to pray. Luke's gospel also reveals how Jesus prayed before every significant event in his ministry. Luke points out Jesus praying on the Mount of Transfiguration and praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before the Roman police showed up. Even while going through the execution on the cross, Jesus had the mind and the presence to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The disciples' initial desire to be taught to pray is prompted by seeing Jesus practice his own prayer life. Some of y'all miss that. It's too important to miss. If prayer is important enough for Jesus, prayer ought to be important enough for you. Did you hear what I said? Okay. If you want your children to learn how to pray to the Lord, you ought to be modeling prayer before your children. No, you ought to be praying with your children. Does that make sense? The model prayer, also known as the Lord's Prayer, also known as the disciples' prayer, is instructive on prayer. You see, rabbis developed short prayers. John the Baptist had developed short prayers, and other rabbis, like even Jesus with this Lord's Prayer, developed short prayers to teach the disciples, to encourage them in prayer. One of Jesus' disciples, seeing Jesus pray, said, Lord, teach us to pray. Thus the Lord's Prayer was taught to the disciples by Jesus. And if you were to come to Bible study, you'd learn that even though it's the same prayer, it's the same Lord's Prayer, but there are different emphases of this Lord's Prayer in Matthew and Luke. Luke's version focuses more on human needs and less on seeking spiritual rewards in the sweet by and by. Luke's request is for bread today and forgiveness and release of present indebtedness. Family, what I find most interesting about our teaching is that all of the disciples saw Jesus perform powerfully. Miraculously. They saw Jesus cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead. They saw Jesus turn water into wine. I know some of us wish we had that skill.
The disciples even saw Jesus walk on water. And with all the disciples saw Jesus do, what the main desire from Jesus to teach them was to teach them how to pray. Family, as I thought about what the disciples asked of Jesus, as it sometimes does, my consecrated imagination got the best of me, causing me to wonder of all the requests we have made of Jesus, all the prayer petitions that we have lifted up to the Lord, how many of us have asked Jesus to teach us how to pray? Family, get the point that none of the spiritual disciplines we can practice, develop, and can help us develop a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ like prayer. Somebody may need some help with this morning. God is someone and not a something. Did you hear what I said? God is to be spoken to and not spoken about. And please, please, from this day now, hence and forevermore, refer to the Holy Spirit as He and not it. When God was in God's creative mode in the Old Testament, God was the masculine spirit, Ruah. And in the New Testament, the feminine spirit, Pneuma. God is not an it. The Spirit of God is a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Are we clear going forward? Now, I'm going to say something about the Spirit of God later. But check this. In verse 41 and 42, it says, Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you. This is in John's gospel. I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And as he stood before the tomb, before Jesus works the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus takes time to pray. Can I help somebody with this? Too often in ministry, we overlook the importance of including God in our ministry process. Did you hear what I said? Too often in ministry, we overlook the importance of God, worship, and go straight into the work. Y'all not getting this, so you don't want to hear it. I don't know which one it is. But if preaching, singing, doorkeeping, cooking, if anything is important, it must be put in place behind offering prayer and thanks to God. Anything we put in front of God that we do is idol worship. Did you hear what I said? It doesn't matter how important it is, how significant it is. If we put it in front of our Lord, we are worshiping that thing. And that includes preaching. And we are to give thanks before we start ministry. And then give God credit after the ministry is done. I went out and we give thanks to God for allowing us to be a part of the process of advancing the gospel and the kingdom. Check this. When a person prays, and gives and talks about when we pray and we misrepresent God in the view of who God is, I think that, let me say it this way. I can't get those thoughts right, but let me say it this way. We have expressed our prayers in views that can be categorized. That's the word I was trying to find. We have expressed prayers in such limited categories that they are so predictable that they fall into certain categories. We have the spare tire prayer. God is for emergencies only. We have the stained glass prayer. Sounds pretty, but it lacks power. We have the showtime prayer. Opportunity to be seen and heard by others. We have the Ricky remix prayer. Same prayer. We say the same stuff over. We take 10 minutes and say the same thing when we could have said it in about a minute. We have the Aladdin prayer. Thinking if we rub God the right way, our wish will be granted. And then we have the strong arm prayer. When we forcefully remind God of obligations and promises that God has made. This will happen. I try to sing with that choir. We need family to expand from merely praying to God for things and stuff and emergencies and began praying to give thankful praise and honor the acknowledgement of a deepening relationship and a dependence on God. Psalmist wrote, I look unto the hills from which cometh my help, and my help cometh from the Lord. O God, you are my God, early do we seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. In Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches that prayer is not to be pretentious. Jesus calls pretentious prayer, or a pretentious prayer, a hypocrite. Don't look at anybody. In other words, prayer time is not to be showtime in the sanctuary. Prayer time is not an opportunity to show how many scriptures you can quote and how many ecclesial catchphrases you know. Matthew teaches us that that we are to check our modus operandi. We are to be clear of our motive for prayer. Prayer is not to impress people or to excite people. Prayer is to invoke and invite the Spirit of God to be in our midst. Do I have a witness? Family, prayer is not a time for ecclesial babble. It's not a time to entertain or to imitate people. It's a time to get God's attention. It's a time to get into God's presence. Prayer is a time to pray for someone else, and not to pray somebody else's prayer. Pray your own prayer. Did you hear what I said? Pray your own prayer from the heart. Pray your prayer sincerely. Pray in the Spirit. You don't need to pray the prayer of Jabez. Pray your own prayer. Pray your own prayer that's special for you. Pray your own prayer. If Vincent is praying, Vincent, pray your prayer. And if Marlene is praying, Marlene, pray your prayer. Laura, if you're praying, pray Laura's prayer. Stacy, pray Stacy's prayer. Brittany, pray Brittany's prayer. What I'm saying is learn to pray your own prayer. And if you pray your own prayer will get through. Is there anybody here who knows how to get a prayer through to the Lord? Huh? The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. Hot prayers will get God's attention. Lord, teach us to pray. Faithful prayer is calling on God in confidence. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Check this. Maturing, mastering prayer doesn't mean understanding and using technique. It means to be open and honest with God. Praising and thanking God, calling out to God in our need. Does that make sense? While having the privilege to petition the God who is able to do exceeding and abundant beyond what we could think or ask. There is a tendency for most of us to offer typical, predictable, and limited prayers. Huh? Prayers get through, family, when we learn the difference between what we want and what we need. Come on, stay with me. Prayer at its core is worship. My grandson Xavier, when we're around family, when Xavier wants my attention, he gets up in my lap and pushes everybody away and looks me right in my eyes and blocks out everything and everybody. The Lord wants to give and receive undivided attention. Some of y'all missed that. The Lord wants to give and receive undivided attention. This is the meaning of go into your room, close the door. Prayer can be corporate. Prayer can be public. Prayer can be private. But always prayer is personal. There's a time for praying together. There's a time for praying in private. As quiet as it's kept, some of us have opted out of developing a personal, private prayer life and passed on that responsibility to the preacher, passed on their prayer needs to their prayer partner and to the intercessory prayer circle. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with having a prayer posse, but if you know the Lord, even when somebody's praying for you, when we have altar prayer, when somebody's praying for you, you ought to be praying for yourself. I don't know about you, but nobody can express my need that I have for the Lord like I do. I ask folk to pray for me all the time, but I'm praying for myself. I believe in James 5:14, calling on the elders to pray. But I'm also a strong believer that every moment is to be lived in the awareness that God is with us and is actively involved and engaged in our thoughts and our actions. I'm sitting at stoplights praying. I'm going by food at Chick-fil-A praying. I'm walking. I'm working out. And I'm praying. The word says that we understand that men and women ought always to pray. Am I right? I might ask you to pray for me, but I'm duty bound to pray for myself. Because I need to have a prayer life that's connected to the Lord. There are times when we need to say, ain't nobody's business what I have to say to the Lord but mine. Sometimes we need to pray by ourselves. We don't need ear hustlers and gossipers connected with our prayer life. The private place and the prayer removes all distractions and distractors. When we pray, pray to your Father in secret. Get alone by yourself with the Lord. And when we do that, we enter into the Holy of Holies. Just you and God. When we pray to God privately and persistently, we enter into the throne room of grace. We step out of this world and into God's eternal space. Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 11:2, Jesus says to the disciples, when you pray. Somebody say, when you pray. Say it again, please. Some people instead, for some people, instead of it being when you pray, it's do you pray? I've heard people say that I've stopped praying. I need to pray. Jesus, check this, is not commanding us to pray. Jesus believes that if a person is and in a relationship with God, we will pray. For children of God, prayer is as necessary as water. Do I have a witness? We can't live without water. Prayer is as essential as oxygen. You don't have to think about breathing because breathing happens involuntarily. We breathe without thinking about it. We breathe because the atmosphere exerts pressure on the lungs and essentially forces us to breathe. Similar way, we are born into the family of God. We enter into a spiritual atmosphere where God's presence and grace exerts pressure or influence on our lives, and it ought to cause us to pray. Prayer, family, is the normal response to the pressure of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say two things and I'm going to shut down. Hopefully you will further develop your effective personal, public, and private prayer life as we move towards 2019. And to do so, the first thing that needs to happen is to have an effective prayer life that establishes a relationship between you and God. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will and it shall be done to you. The Reverend King remix of the A part of that verse is, if you talk to me, I'll talk to you. Did you hear what I said? The one who prays and the one who is prayed to cannot be separated from each other. Did you catch that? The one who prays and the one who is prayed to cannot be separated from each other because the two are in relationship. Second point, if you order, in order to pray effectively, we need to mature. You in Bible study last week, you learned that Paul had a problem with the church at Corinth. He said, you've been a Christian a long time, but you still act like babies in the spirit. There's some folk in churches that have been Christian for a long time, but they still act like babies. They haven't grown up in the spirit. They still have a baby spirit. Maturing in prayer does not mean mastering techniques or becoming a super saint. Maturing means to be open and honest with God. Did you hear what I said? Maturing means praising God. Maturing means agreeing and sometimes disagreeing with God. I know your mama said, don't you question God. God knows what God's doing. Yeah, I know God knows what God's doing, but sometimes I'm not sure. I said, God, I got a question with that. Why am I going through this? Why is this going on in the world? God, you got to tell me something. Y'all get that when you get home. It'll free you too. We are to pray to hallow God's name. Pray for the time when God's name will be universally acknowledged and respected. Maturing in prayer means being ready to learn in the spirit the difference between what we need and what we want. Maturing in prayer means learning lessons about the Lord's sustaining grace. From the Lord, from the beginning and the middle and the end of every situation. You know, we want to get to the end. We're in a rush, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Get me through this, Lord. I want to get to the end of this, but it's at the beginning and the middle where God is doing the teaching and the fashioning and the maturing. Word says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we are to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I hear our African cousins working in the fields after having been there from can't see until can't see. I see them going back in the brush behind the trees down by the water. And while things are going on, they're not singing any words, they're just moaning. Anybody here from South Carolina? Go down to the ring houses that still exist. You go in there and you get in the ring circle and you moan. And when you pass out, somebody else takes your place. We're moaning, but God understands our every groan. Matter of fact, the Spirit within us fashions the words within us and sends an email to God, and God understands a prayer that we cannot even pray. I wish I had a prayer in church this morning. Maturing means that during those times when it's hard to pray and we cannot get a prayer up and we cannot get a prayer out, when we feel like we can't get a prayer through, we know that the Holy Spirit within us will pray for us. There are times when something happens and we just sit there like this, trying to get some intellectual words to come out of our mouth through the brain, but the Holy Spirit has already captured what needs to be understood and offered that prayer in your behalf. I wish I had a prayer in church this morning. Just as we need to ask, Lord, teach us to pray, we need to ask for help from the Holy Spirit. I need to ask the question this morning, do you have the Holy Spirit? I know we're in a Methodist church, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you have the Holy Ghost? If your spirit is not alive, then you are still a Christian without the power of God active in your life. To be saved means that you're on your way to being transformed. Have a Holy Spirit. Transformation happens. Do you have the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost don't just make you run. The Holy Ghost makes you think. And when you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, you might want to shout. You might go ahead and run. Do I have a witness? Lord, teach us to pray. We need the Holy Spirit to intercede on our behalf. Holy Spirit in the Greek is paraclete, but I love to call him the parachute. When I'm going through tough times and landing seems hard, the Lord brings me down easy. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding happens our way by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit searches your heart, not to get into your business, but to find out what the prayers that aren't able to articulate, to make them understandable and reachable to God. Develop a relationship with God and mature as a Christian. As we prepare to make resolve in 2019, think on this. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Lot of prayer, lot of power. Lord, teach us to pray. Can we stand on our feet and give a thank offering to God? the God that we can be in contact with and relationship with, the Lord who is able to do exceeding and abundant above all we could think or ask. The doors of this church are open. Now is a great time to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Even now the Spirit of God is speaking to us, speaking to you to begin a walk with the Lord. If that's you, you're ready to begin a walk for the first time with Jesus Christ, make your way down and we'll celebrate. And if you're already in a relationship with the Lord, maybe the Lord is prompting you to make Goshen Church your home. But whatever your case might be, now is the time. This is the place. Jesus Christ is the answer.